National Assembly Committees are required, in terms of Section 5 of the Money Bills Amendment Procedure and Related Matters Act, to annually assess the performance of each national department and submit a BRRR report, which will provide an assessment of the department's service delivery performance, given available resources, and assessment of the efficiency and effectiveness of the department's use, and may include recommendations. And then the last paragraph says, these are the acts that we oversee. The Higher Education Act, the National Student Financial Aid Scheme Act, National Qualification Skills Development Act, blah, blah, blah. And then it says, the Department of Higher Education and Training oversees the CETAs, and I want to introduce a National Skills Fund, in terms of the Skills Development Act and the Skills Levies Act. But in terms of paragraph 1.1, we do not systematically assess these bodies. Because, and I don't know why we don't, but there needs to be a reason for that. Because otherwise, anyone reading this is going to expect a systematic assessment of each CETA and the National Skills Fund.
I see your hand over to Julian.
Jefferson, I think I hear the concerns expressed by Honourable Bazzoli, but equally, we hardly have time during a very constrained process, time-wise, to go into further assessment of other entities reporting to the department. So what the constitutional mandate says, is, and what the Money Bills Amendment Act says, it says we must provide an assessment on the department's service delivery performance given available resources, etc. Now, it does not say, and every one of all the entities reporting to the department, we have to select those. And I would argue that if there was a very strong feeling from the DA, they should have asked us to include it into our program. So I don't know why we would now include that specific paragraph in our report. As I say, seeing that some of the other entities that we wanted to oversee, there were questions about, for instance, the two CETAs we worked. We actually wanted to engage with all the CETAs. We should have engaged with the colleges to ask them about some of their horrific outcomes. So I do not think that we must single out one of the entities and then provide reasons why we didn't include them. I don't have a problem with the inclusion of the different bodies and to make sure that we cover all the acts that we are overseeing. Just one addition that I would like to make, Chair, and that is I want to ask our content advisor, if we look at the acts that we've listed, are there any of the other acts that were amended?
National Skills Fund to be included. And that does, and that is an alteration of the amendment. That, I mean, that's a, an omission.
I was just wondering if we should perhaps have a catch-all, and then we can remove it inside the paragraph at the top to say the committee oversees the implementation of the following act, and then we, you know, obviously, comma, as amended. And then we actually capture the amendments that were introduced, because sometimes we refer to the acts as they are at a particular date, and then there were some subsequent amendments. So if we could perhaps then include the following act as amended. As amended.
I'm sure, but I think we will make sure that when we name the act, we must include, let's say, 2018 as amended. So I think all that we'll do with the ones that are mentioned here is also just double check the addition that there is. Yeah. Otherwise, it will be wrong to say Act of 1989 is
applicable.
And on the second page, purpose, method, restating the MVP against the F. I see no one. The third page. Are we on the second page, Paul?
No.
Paragraph.
Chair, we didn't look at any of these documents when we assessed the performance of the department. It says here that we assessed the performance in terms of the National Development Plan, the medium-term strategic framework, the pledge of the nation address, but we didn't look at any of those documents. What do you assess in those two?
No, honourable member. What that is meant is not that insofar as each one of us sitting here, what we are simply meaning is, for example, when the content advisor, when the content advisor look at all of these things, the content advisor restates the fact that one of the things that we look at is the National Development Plan and the NPSF. And the content advisor simply takes from also from what the department you when you look at the annual report, in the annual report of the department, that's where you would have had to assess it, because they state it in there in the annual report that the National Development Plan and whatever. Now, if you want to refer to yourself individually, that's a different case. In there it was, and that's where the comparisons come in.
Chair, it says in under method, page 2, under method 1.4, in preparation for the consideration of the department and the report, the committee considered key government policy documents.
Yes.
But we didn't.
Then we did.
In preparation for the report. The policy documents are not the annual report.
We don't take the entire document. We don't take the entire document. We take chapter 9, which is the education section, as it relates to only the higher education section. And I'm saying, in the annual report, the department brings that in there. When we look at the annual report, and when both, all of us, all three of us here, look at writing up the report, we look at it in there also. If you did not say anything in the meeting, then, you know, we can't punish you for that.
But, Chair, this has nothing to do with what was said in the meeting. This is the background of it. And the background says we considered government policy documents, and we did not consider government policy documents. So that, we did not. When were they,
dialogue, let me
when were they considered by the committee?
Honourable Kekana.
No, my own understanding was that when we go through this, My own understanding is that when we do the annual report and whatever we discuss in the committee, our big reference point, in other words, in the background, we are guided by the national plan, at times it's guided by the January presidential report on education. Those are main documents each year that guide us when we do our work generally. Not that I don't think it really refers literally where you put in a document in front of you and you're reading it page by page, but these are guiding documents on education, higher education, whatever we do. I think this is our understanding.
Lillian?
Mr. Chairperson, I have two points to make. The one is we have been adopting similar regulation, I'm sure, with the exact same wording in past years, financial years, and there was no problem about the specific reference. The second point that I want to make is even assume when committee members prepare for the committee meeting, they would actually take note of the government of the day's state of policy. In other words, the medium term strategic framework, as well as the SONA debate at the beginning of the year, because that is when a government announces its program for specific portfolios, etc. So it is assumed. It is not that the committee has a presentation on the State of the Nation addressed by the President or has a presentation by the Department of Finance, you know, National Treasury on the medium-term framework. It is assumed that you would assess a department's performance against those policy documents. So I think that is just what I wanted to say. That first of all, it was the exact same wording as in the past. Secondly,
thank you, Chair. Let me just quickly address this issue, and then the first one is, my question is, when you say you have, as a committee, considered a specific document, I think you mean something else than when you say you've looked at the department's annual plan against the backdrop of, or in the light of, etc. But the moment you say you've considered the State of the Nation address, you've considered, you know, certain documents, consider means you have debated it, you have perhaps amended it, you have even perhaps rejected or adopted it. So I think that there should be a better choice of words in that sentence. And just to honorable Kimmel, if you've erred in the past, I think it's no reason to err also in the future, they say two wrongs don't make a right. But see, having said that, we've got a bigger problem. This document was circulated to us the first one on Friday, the other one a little bit later. And there are numerous smaller issues which I believe not only Honourable Bajoli would like to take up.
Why don't we finish this one point?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Chair. May I put it for arriving at the gate? Chair, my view on the word considered, what we have considered those documents, it means that we have taken into consideration, we are using them as a frame of reference. In fact, you are being guided. We cannot look at the government's performance without considering what is being said in the SONA, what is being sent in the MTSF, what is in the NDP, because that is our frame of reference. In order for us to see whether they are achieving what is said in the NDP, we must, you know, consider that. So I don't see any problem the way that the paragraph is being phrased, to be honest. Maybe we, as we go forward, we can then identify some of the other things. But here, it means that we're just working on A if we don't consider those key documents.
This is the last opportunity on the matter, Honourable
Okay, well, I think there may be partly an interpretation of meaning question here, so maybe it would be simpler to just say, against the background of key government policy. So, the Department's annual report was considered against the background of key government policy documents. I mean, that satisfies everybody.
I'm done with page two. Still page two.
No, Chair, I want to. You stopped me from addressing the process of going forward.
Yes.
I would like to, as I've said, we have not been able to give feedback on these documents until now. And it just seems to me as if, on reading through the documents, you know, there are so many, some bigger and some smaller issues that are wasn't really need political debate, language issues and so on. And every year we end up with this being a fairly rushed exercise. An exercise which I believe, you know, if we want the department to take Parliament seriously, should not be rushed in the way it is. And I've just been wondering whether there is an opportunity, wouldn't be an opportunity for us to just make our inputs known to the content advisor, particularly for her consideration, like the issue we've just had. Eventually we agreed to it, and I think it was, I was concerned that there may be many more such, can I say it, terminology changes, etc., that people might want to propose, and that we would not have the time to consider all of them, whereas if one person could just consider them and say, okay, these are just language issues, these are, let's call it phrasing issues, etc. But these are big issues that we would like to introduce and on which the committee needs a debate. I'm just concerned that we are, was mainly coordinated cuff, we might end up arguing about smaller items when the bigger issues, you know, might fall off the table. So that's my proposal, that we perhaps hand in our documents with the changes to the content advisor for her consideration against the backdrop of language issues, etc.
Well, I'm a bit confused because now we, I don't think this is going page by page. We consider if anyone wants to make correction, whether it be a technical language thing or a political thing, this is the opportunity to raise that. If we say we're not giving enough time, I mean, how much time do we want? This is the time allocated for us as a portfolio to do our work every time we need. So I kind of answer because everybody has the opportunity to do that now. There's not going to be a specific time. Unless if you say you want to write and give it to content advisor, but it will be the first through this committee. We also want to know if there are changes. Because it can be a technical thing, it is, but it could change the meaning and everything. So we'd like you to go through this, do it with us in another way, so that when we adopt it, we are all satisfied, we understand it as it should be.
Kilian and Antuna? I think we need to switch.
OK.
Chairperson, no. I would like to propose that we actually do what we've done in the past. And that was, we have introduced in the committee substantial changes.
Yeah.
And then you argue whether that is necessary, inclusion, etc. I hear what Honourable Fonda President is saying, but I think we can actually adjust it because I would like to know what is our cut-off date for when we must submit. We are under pressure. Let's understand. The point that I want to connect. When is the cut-off date, Chairperson?
Today.
Is it today? Okay. That then says to me that we have, we must do the following, and that is what we've done in the past. We don't come in and say TVET College it starts with a capital college here and there is not, etc., etc. We submit that to the content advisor and to the committee secretary. But that we just go page by page on significant issues that we believe must be introduced or removed. And that is what we've done in the past. Remember when we changed content within the committee, but we left a little sort of remnant for our time at the meeting. Otherwise, we won't understand. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thanks, Chair. No, I was going to say that now let's continue with the process page by page as we normally do. And then after, we will continue the process. All the committees are doing it like this. They are busy right now.
All right, look, Honourable Members, why don't we just proceed as we did before? And that is, I think, where you see spelling mistakes, you will tell us that, you know, there's a spelling mistake, but I think we agree that you can't send to the Secretariat anything that changes anything substantial. It is best for you to say in this meeting. Honourable Killian, how many spelling mistakes do you have? Honourable Mutuna, indicate to us here, because the two of them are not decision makers. They have to bring it to me in any event, and we in any event jointly, all three of us, relook at all of these things. I have to pin my signature to this thing when it is entabled in the ATC, and I pin my signature on the basis of a collective decision that we have taken here. So I ask that we on the aspect of Russia, because you see the decision about this thing is not us. When they go there, those you have to break that in your workplace because they discuss this thing in the what is this thing on the Thursday? The program committee. The program of parliament is not determined by us only. So asking us to come back this week and dealing, or last week, and dealing with annual reports is the program committee that deals with this thing. They give us the date even via the house chair to say that by this date, you would have dealt with your adoption of your report. So Honourable Fonda President, that one doesn't arise here. It arises for those decision makers that take those decisions, and it can't be that we say we can't adopt the report because it has been frustrated. We're now on page 3. I see no hands, and I go to page 4.
Chair, just on page 3, the last paragraph, was during the financial year under review that the government pronounced the fee-free education.
Where are you?
Second last time.
You might run, I'm speaking to the first sentence of the last paragraph on my face. It seems to me my colleagues' face rates have been slightly different from mine.
Mm-hmm.
It's the third paragraph in under 2.1.3.
The implementation of the P3 education policy. That's where you are?
It was during.
In the third paragraph.
No, I'm asking if that's the...
Yeah, the issue is P3 education.
What about it?
Yes. I... concerned when we just say announced the P3 education because this is a gradual implementation of P3 education for the poor. I think it must be qualified. Mm.
So you want to order us to add
words such as, for example, on the gradual implementation of the P3 education for the poor.
Oh, right. I'm sure that's fine on the book.
Okay. It is a little bit described later on.
Okay.
In the paragraph just above it, I'm just wondering whether the term missing middle should be said, or and what has become known as the missing middle students. I don't know if missing middle in itself is already a term that is internationally accepted. I don't know. So I would just, what has become known as the missing middle students. Thank you, Chair.
Well, I think it's not an international thing, it's South Africa that is mentioned under here. It's the department that has introduced that name. So I think it is just where the name has been derived from that we referred to. So I don't think there's a change nationally to leave it like that. But I'm sure we will fix that up, and that takes me to page 4. Summary of the previous key convention and non-financial performance recommendations of the previous key convention last year. Yeah.
Chair, I've got several very small errors which I'll pass on. There's a zone missing about 6 times.
Okay.
But 313, I'm not sure of the meaning of the first sentence. The committee recommends that the department should performance on the system performance indicators. I think it probably means report on the system performance indicators.
The committee recommended that the department should improve performance on the system.
Mm. I should improve improve on the system performance indicators. That's right.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. That's what you said last year?
No, it was just that the word improve is missing from my copy.
I don't know what happened to the word improve and I don't know, you can just double check. I'm worried that the
different editions coming out.
Let's just double check the commitment so that we cleaned up a little bit.
I think we cleaned up a little bit.
Yes, but I've done all my work on the
reality. Oh, I've done the
same.
It's fine. We're on page 5 now.
I'm also sort of checking.
Last thing on the face. I don't know what Latte is in English.
Because.
But because is a box?
No.
Or beef
is there. So it's a
okay. Are we on page 5 or on 6? 5.
On page 5, Chip? I might just get clarity, Chair. This paragraph actually confused me, and that's why I brought all my documents.
Which one?
Paragraph 315. We're speaking about the 12 new TU college campuses. But then at the bottom of the document, we're speaking about 13 sites which were in the process of contract award. Now, I just have a little bit of a difficulty to exactly understand what I'm saying. Did we say new TVET college campuses with X number of sites? Or how do we get all of that together to make sense for somebody who's now new and reading that? So could I perhaps ask for clarity? When I read through it, it just worried me.
we debate this point all the time. just give the answer that you always give me, from Papa.
Yes, the first new Tamil code is that was pronounced by the president. And in addition to that, that a new site, there will be another establishment in addition to the new court that are going to be bought. This was the policy that was pronounced by the president. That is why it's always in the 12th and 18th.
Sentence, it says the 13 sites were in the process of contract award, then 11 of the 13 sites, and construction was set to commence with 3 months. I think it's within?
Within
3 months, I
yes.
Project, yes.
Thank you very much. Shall we go to page 6 on that paper?
Chair has made the assumption of me using the older document that the first sentence in 3.2 doesn't make sense. My reading is the portfolio committee are recommending the challenges arising from the underfunding of the PCET system, in particular funding shortfalls in the PVET college program funding and from the Smith College bursary, which is as contained in the findings. Doesn't have a verb. Something doesn't have a primary clause. So it seems to me to say, recommended that the challenges need to be addressed.
The portfolio committee on higher education and training noted the challenges arising from the underfunding of the school education and training system.
Okay, so it's noted, not recommended. Okay, then that makes sense. Okay.
Chair, don't you have another copy? Is there another copy that maybe...
No, but the member said she prepared everything on there.
Oh, okay.
And we will...
Yeah, I
mean, I've got... you've taken her copy. You've taken Honourable and Global copy.
Page 9. Page 5.
just want to have absolute certainty that every one of the figures was checked, that you don't have an insertion of a table, because I have not checked the figures. Otherwise, you know, you can get out of it. If we can just have that, certainty.
We give you the certainty, because we know this is the issue there. That creates a problem all the time. That takes us to page 9, again. Are we doing page 11? 11?
Chair, and with the table and paragraph 1 below it, is that including seekers or excluding seekers? Because from my understanding of the unauthorized expenditure being seekers, so maybe you could just say including seekers. Because otherwise it looks like
where are you?
The table.
On 11.
Yeah, well, my page is 413.
Table 413. Expenditure, waste pool, and so on.
Yes. And then the other thing is, because it says the department, but if it's including the seekers, we're defining that as wider. And if it's not including the seekers, should it not include the seekers? Because that's where you get millions of waste pool expenditure, which is not reported anywhere in this report.
Lillian? I just wonder, I don't have in principle a problem that we have a section to refer to irregular expenditure in CIPAS, but we must remember that we make in the entire document, we make very clear differentiation between departmental budgets and how we account on departmental budgets, because the CIPAS are funded through a direct award from the fiscus, through the national, through the levy, So I don't think we can just simply include it when we're reporting on the department. But I don't think it's wrong to capture concerns unless we have the entire list of whatever went wrong in the season. But as I say, I don't think we should mix
the two.
Thank you.
Can I ask, let's not debate this one, can I ask, just allow us to double check the this one.
And the chair, second point one, just check it. Can I make it? The thing of having 228.000 million, that's a funny way of writing 228 million. And in fact, it led to a mistake later where the paragraph starting with the department incurred irregular expenditure amounting to 228,000. Because I think this 0.000 makes you think it's about thousands, not millions. So I would suggest you don't use 0.000. Why don't you just say 228 million? Or if it's going to have numbers, then it's 228,564 million. But the point is very, I know they use in Europe, but I find it very
good. Thank you. This is a debate that we have for the CFO, and I wish he is here.
Okay.
And we have this constant thing of him, of, you know, how they capture, how we read, and what we preferably would want to have. I think we have to go back to Treasury, because their debate is with Treasury on how Treasury wants them to do things, and then this comes up. We had the same thing last year, and you remember the things that you said to us, except last year one of the figures were wrong, arising out of how they captured it. So I'm not quite sure if we can be able to fix that all on our own if we can. treasury that you know how they try to think. But the other position, I want to suggest that what we do is to write it in such a way that it makes sense to us and it makes sense to anyone that picks up the thing. Yeah, is that okay?
Actually, yes. Actually, the important thing for us is that the document before us, if you refer to previous years and the current financial year, it must be the same. So there is currently, there is a little bit of a problem in that we refer to 2017-18 in the with reference to north, but the prior year we refer to million. And I think that is what we must make sure that all of that is reading the same. See, sometimes when we take a table from the document, from the budget, it has in the top north million, you know, at the heading. And if we don't act very cautiously, we may forget to put that heading in. And then we refer to different ways of how to describe it. So my suggestion is that we stick to million written out and that we don't have the point north and all of that. Because the CFO is doing it like that, the department, but we must make sure that we do it according to what makes sense to us and to the public.
Can I ask, maybe I'm reading this wrong. In 2016-17, let's start from 15-16, the irregular expenditure was 31.308 million. 2016-17 to 3.817 million. Then it decreased significantly to 228,000. It decreased from 53 million to 228,000.
Shortcut that we will fund the best and have
okay.
Yes.
so that the 1,000.
And I now want to give money to the 1,000 too. Sorry, I also think that what we have to do, Anele and Young Paco, is these things are not our figures, if I can put it like that. So I think it would be better that when we take from the original document, that we have caution in what we take. So we don't, for example, do it collective. They take as is and then otherwise, because that's always a bit of a shortcut as well. And then confusion came in.
Let's do that.
Write that one also. Why not?
No, that is why I was saying they have to look for a synonym at least of the case, because those are special cases.
That's correct.
Yeah. Yeah. He says that the word
that is common. That's what I'm saying. If we don't want to use that word, but it's for those special cases,
yes,
how do you then treat that?
Yeah, you see, Honourable Suryani says she's got difficulties with the word cases. Now, if you have difficulties with the word cases, do not dilute the meaning of what would be the opponent to you. So the cases is, if I may, individual. Yes.
Hmm.
That's very much the sense of the leading
yes. And it varies.
Yes.
We want to be specific now,
yes,
of which we will,
yes,
we are bringing in maybe a different meaning.
There we go. That's why I say you can't have your becomes now longer than one. As you're sitting alone, each one of you, your pension, it's not the same simply because you're in parliament.
It is not.
Yes. So, individual.
I don't have a problem with the individual. I also thought maybe we could accept in respect of top-up for specific college, TBM college staff. In other words, all the cases, for specific cases,
individual cases, but the cases must be there.
I'm on page 15. On page 17, continue with 4.2.3.1. Page 19. 4.2.4?
Yeah. Yes. I'm just wondering if this is a place to put in one of my concerns about our oversight. At the end of, at the beginning of 4241 or the end of 424, we could put individual colleges were not assessed by the committee for reasons of lack of time and capacity. However, it was noted that several colleges received poor audit opinions. We need somewhere to point out what we think about individual colleges. And that we haven't had time to go and look at them, all their annual reports, but that we are observant of their overview. If you know what I mean. Well, that's what I wanted it to be right at the beginning, where we are talking about us. The beginning where we talk about what the committee did. And now I wanted to put in there, we didn't look at colleges or TVET or people, because we didn't, Chair. And excuse me, on occasion, I did raise the committee more than once. And it was always a matter of time and capacity. We just couldn't do it. And we should really be looking at every college's annual report. And that's what we should be doing. This department is so big and unwieldy that we can't do it. So we can't actually do proper oversight.
No. We're not disagreeing with what you say.
Yeah. But we need to report that.
Well, it's just wait. It is the way that I'm trying to. I'm trying to take you through. I don't think there's any disagreement on that. I mean, we absolutely are bothered about the fact that when we have to do the annual report period, ideally we're supposed to have all these funny CETs. We're supposed to be having the long list of however many numbers.
There are nine, but how many campuses?
81. You see, ideally, we're supposed to those principals that of the colleges. Ideally. So I'm saying, there's no disagreement with that. It is, we don't want to you see the part, when you say the report to the National Assembly, the part of the interview is, apart from whatever the one part that they write to the minister is the part that says what has the committee then decided. So the committee would have decided under both their own analysis and their recommendation in particular. And I was trying to take you there because there must be meaning to the decision. So if we misplace them in the report, then it does not actually affect that we all agree about. So that's what where I'm changing to where it is. Isn't agreement that's where it is misplaced, and we think that one is not.
Maybe you could say it's very misplaced. Because now observation is what you conclude.
What I'm saying is, Chair, I hear Honourable Zoe's concern and we always have the frustration but in the end, actually, everything is focused on what have we observed, and from there, our recommendations would go. So I would argue that, notwithstanding the fact that due to the time constraints, the committee couldn't, you know, the following alarmed the committee from, you know, the Audit General, whatever. So we can just see if we can strengthen the observation part, if necessary, that we should write it in there, so that from there it would flow that we make a recommendation that the department should beef up their oversight function over these things.
Okay.
You know, so I just wanted to say, suggest that we look at it there.
Just for the purpose of the chair, Mr. Pages, would you like to listen?
Because what I'm saying is, I suggest that Honourable Zoe help us to just identify a specific paragraph under observation that we could possibly strengthen in respect of both of these groups of entities, where we have only the audit report to tell us at this stage, but that we couldn't, due to time constraints of this process, you know, engage with directly. Because then, you know, when we report to the House, we say, actually, this process is always just too short. You can't give proper, you know, do a complete review of all the entities. It is a frustrating process because we always sort of push to complete within 2 weeks. And it is, you know, heavy pressure. So I think we can mention it there, so that when we engage in it on debate, we also raise it as a concern that the Money Bills Amendment Act should actually be reviewed in terms of time frame. We know in the past.
What does this mean? That's got a committee.
No, sir, I mean, this, in my own understanding, make one thing clear. You see, in the past we had the system of school inspectors who go to each school, whether they are 50 or 100 and each month, toward the end of the year. I don't think this is a school inspectoral system. That is why when we do oversight, we, out of 50 feedback colleges, we might choose 10 for those two, and usually the problematic ones, which are reported to be having problems. Because the purpose of doing oversight is to check that whatever is there in our policies for feedback is being properly implemented. So you take a sample, I don't think it has ever been an intention of inspecting every job. You go with a number that will satisfy you, that on the overall this you can use and say, I have an idea, I'm satisfied that policies have been implemented properly. So that's what I did, I would want to see each and every entity, because that has not an intention of an oversight.
Thank you.
Chairman, I was saying it's a very, it's a good recommendation that is made by one of the proposals, but I was going to say that for the sake of progress, let us continue because I don't want to get confused. Then when we go there, where there are observations, by we see that one.
All right. Look, that's fine. But if you see, Honourable, you are awakening my thoughts on intermeeting. And lastly, we had two CETAs here. Now, what those two CETAs did was a plea for mercy. But we have never been bad, you know, we are good, we are good. And they tried to get away with it. Now, if we had the time, energy, and everything else, we would have had a whole happy lot here. We chose the two who have regressed. The two of them have gone back to a different view because of bringing them there. They thought it was just fine that it's all right, you know, with regret, let's not. They left with an extremely different view, and that is a particular oversight that was done on the two of them that decided they will relax on what they are going to do or have done. And they did not know that it's actually not a right thing for them to have regressed. The one that got away more than the other one was the MIC, whatever. And I think we would bring them back because I don't think they were very truthful in everything. And they got away simply because we had a lot of other things to do. But nevertheless, page 21. Development, continuing on to page 23. Community education and training. Observation.
I'm just raising a question. There is a little bit of a, on page 27 at the bottom, the numbering.
The numbering.
It's the paragraph immediately above that one, row 5. Then there's no numbering there, and then on the next page we have 6 dummies. And my suggestion is just that we make that a separate number, otherwise we must have an explanation for the heading which is highlighted without any number written.
Which heading?
Page 27.
Page 27.
Okay, so it is 5, then can we perhaps insert a bullet?
I understand what you're saying. The way it is, it looks like hanging in the air. And to make sure that it remains with 5, you either put, you can't put another Roman.
So you will start bullet.
I'm sure we can, we'll fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Observations, the following form part of the committee's key observations on the river boiling.
Later on.
Yes, on the board,
on page 28, on top of the fifth governor, the risk and management activities and risk strategy. And we come to the top.
Oh. Order on the book, Killian. I can't hear what the member is saying.
Country for Wounded and Risk Management Activities and Risk Strategy under 6, Roman here, 6, Roman.
Thank you, Amazon Global. Don't do that again on the screen. It appears with the number.
Polish part.
Process. Observation, page 28. Make 542
to a blend of my statement and 546. So we put it right up front.
This is the view of the house.
Although it makes sense in terms of our communication here, I would align myself with what Honorable Kikana had to say earlier. In terms of the principle that we used of sampling, as opposed to having sort of an indictment on the committee. My understanding is that when read, it means a bit of our dereliction of our duties, and that is not the case.
Is that the intention?
But the department itself is unwieldy. It's 180 if you count the colleges, the teachers, and the universities, and all the entities in the department. And no committee can be expected to single-handedly do proper oversight over that unless it's given a vast amount of time and extra resources. And so there's I don't know of any other committee in the whole government that is on this scale. And I think we need to point it out to Parliament.
No, you see, now that's a different point, the way you put it. Because some of the other committees that I have served on, what we have in higher education and training, nothing compared to vast amount of, not the department, of entities that they have. And the committees always have to do a balancing act themselves. The ability to get to each and every one. Parliament will tell us that's why what you are not able to do during the annual report period, you have to do that when you to oversight inside of Parliament or outside of Parliament. Because I understood you to be saying something different much, much earlier on when you raised the point that you were concerned that you were not able to simply have all the that we were not able to have all of them before us, but however we are concerned about the performance and the fact that we did not have them all before us, we then were then going to recommend in years both our concern and the fact that we were not able to. I thought that's how I understood that
yes, the fact that they could not all appear before us, the report we have sampled, we had to do with what was before us. So if the principle is about look additional capacity, additional resources, it makes sense. But in the manner of wording that we could not perform the entire oversight, means we are saying we could not manage to do oversight, and that was my concern.
Yes.
With what has been appearing on the newspapers, what has been appearing through public knowledge, some of the issues were actually due to our oversight, that they have been exposed, that we have called people in and out, we have made some interventions. So perhaps we speak the same issue maybe the semantics part of it is maybe the problem.
Chair, that is why I was looking at you, because I was trying to listen, and I'm not sure whether we should mix issues where we are now reflecting on the AG's report. I was trying to write what Honourable Pozzoli was saying, but I couldn't finish, because I wanted us to think about it before we are saying that it is fine, or because I didn't think that it needs to be taken in with 546. So I think I align myself to Honourable Kokashikana and Honourable Volmoran. So let us hear what he's saying and then what she's saying, so that we can digest, comprehend thoroughly.
I think what I heard was that there's reference made that we couldn't operate oversee all of the individual colleges, and I just want to support your view that it's not that only in our case. I mean, if you look at police, if you look at, you know, all the different entities reporting to them, if you look at justice and prosecution, they can't go to all the jails, etc. You know, to see the different circumstances of everyone, and they can't call all of them in to account. So you are overseeing a department. But I hear what Honourable Pozzoli is saying, and my suggestion is that we actually find a middle way in this exercise. That we're saying, it's not a bad idea to, at the beginning of this section, to say that we view to the time contract, for instance, although individual colleges could not be assessed during the DRRR process, that the committee expressed concern about the audit outcomes of CBS colleges, you know. And then the reason is that we then at the outset say that was brought to our attention, because that's all we really had from the colleges. So I was wondering if we shouldn't do that right at the beginning, and then so that we could merge the reference. Otherwise, if we remain at 5.4.6, it's rather towards the end. And my idea is that we lift this sector to the top, to say the sector is critical in addressing the skills deficiencies of the country and the regression in internal controls when it comes to leadership, financial and support management and governance was noted with great concern. Not a bad idea to lift it to a higher order on the observation, and to also suggest that we don't pretend that we visited or we call these institutions in. We didn't have time. So it was, although individual colleges could not be assessed during the DRRR process, whatever. So my suggestion would still remain that we try to look for something and we put it up there at the beginning of program two.
Have the precise wording in my head, I'm really in my partner. So that we don't lose the essence of what we are doing. We are, Parliament says to us that at the end of September 9th, at the end of September, in terms of rule of what was, you have to oversee, you should have received, now the department must make sure that they submit the annual report by, I think the date is the end of September. And then it says that we then have an exercise where we engage with them. Parliament does not describe to us that this is how you have to deal with what the speaker has received. So the speaker would have received the annual reports of our duty.
duty is when the speaker refers that to us, we have a duty to engage with it, and we then do everything that we have done. Now, insofar as the entities are concerned, the ones that send their annual reports to us, we deal with. When you go to, I think, the Public Finance Management Act, it does not say to us that we must get an annual report of each and every college. Am I right? Remember, there's this thing called scheduling, dates and whatever. And these then say these are the ones that come to you as a committee, and these are the ones that report directly to the minister. So if the annual report of this department and any other department, those that report directly to the minister, they would then, in their annual report, tell us how they did oversight on those ones that report directly to the department. That is one way for us, insofar as the annual report is concerned, to do oversight on everyone, all those that even report to the department. So that's one exercise. The other exercise is we can in fact call anyone as part of the annual report. Anyone. We can even ask students to come to us and say, what do you say about this annual report? We can do anything like that. So I want us to understand it in that context, and we don't create something that is not going to happen, so that we don't anticipate something that we bind the committee to, which is not going to happen. What we are bound by is oversight. How we do the oversight is how we, we decide how we do it. Come here, we go there, whatever else, all of these other things. So I think, Honourable Zolling, having listened to the arguments, there's no one that disagrees that we are concerned. We said from last year also that we are concerned. We'll continue to say that if the Auditor General points out that whether it's the colleges or whether it's the CETOs, that we will always express a view about that. So I don't want us to do an assessment or make a recommendation based on the wrong understanding. That's my own thing. I'm not saying you're wrong anything that you're saying. I'm saying I decided to give the context of that. Now, if you say that the department and the that's a different debate. They're then completely different, you see. And that one, you then bring empirical evidence on the basis of the following we say, because it is not a higher education and training issue. That's why there was that commission that Priyaha did before it went to the Public Service Administration Committee that looked at all of these different entities that are there, and how best you can make sure. So having heard us, let's give your colleagues an opportunity first.
Thank you, Chair. This whole paragraph, it's almost called it Chapter 5, deals with observations. They form part of the committee's key observations, and then we break it down into the different programs.
Yes.
And when we come then to the program dealing with our TVET colleges, I think one of our observations was that quite a number of these colleges were still struggling with financial reporting of the quality that one would expect of a publicly funded institution. And I would ask that we just consider, under our observations, to say that, we have observed that the TVET colleges are lacking in administrative and particularly financial management capacity. And then we can list the observation then of the two colleges under 547. We have missed the deadline for the submission, And also, in Article 6, we already referred to the negative audit outcomes. But for me, the observation is not only that the audit outcomes were negative, but clearly there is a lack of capacity in our policies. I would ask the committee to consider including that as an observation as well.
I think it must be three colleges. You raised the balance issue. Isn't that supposed to be there also?
A number of colleges we raised during this financial year in terms of the audit findings, but only two were still outstanding, two missed the deadline.
Yeah.
Some of the others in previous years were unqualified with no findings, now they're unqualified with findings, for example. So they've taken one step down, which to me particularly was already a red light came on, a warning that we are experiencing capacity problems, because with my knowledge of the colleges, it is really, they've been asked to adhere to the PFMA. They're not required by law to adhere to the PFMA. They've been asked to lift their financial standards, but they haven't been given the capacity. The audit profession has come in and they've offered assistance and so on. But unless you have well qualified and the salary structure to attract well qualified financial managers, people with audit backgrounds, etc., to come and work at the colleges, you will always have this problem of them trying to adhere to PFMA standards.
Yeah, on the road,
the
road, on the road, on the road.
So I would like it to be individual college, although individual colleges could not be assessed during the BRRR process due to time constraints, the audit outcomes, blah, 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 and then you move in 5, 4, 6. But I would like to propose that that be modification.
I hear the point that you are saying.
One modification to what I originally had. Although no individual colleges could be assessed, in other words, we couldn't even do 1 or 2. That might be better, because if I say individual colleges could not be assessed, it looks as though I'm saying we should have assessed all of them.
But why did you say the following of control? Because remember I said to you, the people of process is about bringing the departments and the report as well as the agency control. Those are the ones that by law the speaker is first then of the essential act. That's some sort of people. But I want to suggest on from members, because we are not obligated to look at the individual service colleges annual report. But there will be nothing wrong on the members to say that the committee is the committee is my sentence might be offside, just looking to the content. The committee is of the view that the committee observed through the Auditor General's report, all the things about what it was, and the committee will consider that in the next annual report of the people are processed, that it might be very practically possible to invite colleges as part of the committee's oversight when it deals with annual reports. It then takes out the fact that what Honourable we must substitute ourselves in the foot as if we are not to this oversight. Because the only purpose would be because it's the finances and the service delivery performance which we are talking about when it comes to annual report. So I think there will I don't know, Uncle Member, that's my view, because the truth is we are doing oversight over them. We have observed many things. We can take a decision also to say that, you know, the committee notes that the following what, you know. And you know, we might want to call the whole happy bank whatever. Because of our concern arising yesterday after the order to the source and report of the report. So I'm saying my sentence is unrealistic, but it's to the message that I am attempting to.
I'm happy to accept. That sounds fine. Maybe we just, excuse me, one more point. Just make the same thing with title from the time it's completed.
Okay. Yeah. But we brought two and then you rejected the two and then we almost got away with murder. Yeah, I didn't agree what you said again because they got away with murder that two. We have something?
No, it's
okay. Yes, Honourable Member, just in terms of where we are now. Do I
take
it we're done with page
31? It's the same paragraph, 5-4, 5-4-1, or 5-4.
Yeah.
Can I just say, Chair, we are now looking at the department's budget.
Right.
And that is broken down into different programs.
Right.
And we expect of that division of the department that is funded from a specific budget to perform, to utilize that money efficiently, etc. When we see that in such a department, it's reported by the Auditor General that a number of colleges are, for example, failing their audit process, then for me, our first point of call would be to go back to the department and say, what do you do to capacitate them? What do you do to support them? How many letters did you write to
remind them that they must now get their year-end procedures in place. What have you done some oversight in terms of the audit management reports or audit findings of the previous year to correct it, etc.? And it seems to me as if that department, and it could have been due to the illness of the relevant director at that point in time, but that department didn't quite do its job. You know, it regressed in its performance. Because we, in the first instance, I would think, hold the department to account. Obviously, there are college councils, and the department must then, you know, speak to colleges about strategic planning. My question is just because there are a number of other observations that I have about the college sector, the TVET sector. And I don't know whether we must bring the observations in here or whether I must hold it as recommendations. To mention, for example, but one. The department keeps on concentrating on headcounts. Now, quite frankly, a headcount is a highly misleading figure. And once you start changing headcounts, you will actually be encouraging students not to study full-time. Because two part-time students will double my headcount versus one full-time student. So the target for me is not quite a relevant target. Now, my recommendation would be, one of them, to say, but please, can we get targets that are relevant? Can we get targets that the Auditor General will next time report on that are independently measurable? Because in the Auditor General's report, they repeatedly said they couldn't check this figure, they couldn't audit this figure, due to limit of scope, they couldn't do it, you know? And therefore we must just accept that these targets, that the reports on these targets have been accurate. So that's an observation from me, that quite frankly, the targets being set are not the best. But must we do that as an observation, or must we keep that as a recommendation? If you could just guide me in that respect.
So the point that you are making on the whole conversation, I think the part we agree is that indeed the first one is the department has an oversight responsibility over all its entities, and that we must make sure both in our observations and in our recommendation that we say something about the department has to improve in whatever we want to say, their oversight over the entity, whatever words and so on. So I think we can put it in the key concern for the department's oversight over the colleges, as we know that many of these colleges and these CETAs are so what, they don't understand the CFMA, all of these other things that are Auditor General. No one contested the Auditor General. The department did not contest the Auditor General views on that. So I think we can do that. That part we can do.
So you can possibly apply to 5.4 in the view of the colleges, but also 5.5 in the view of skills improvements, which I understand the sequence for. That observation.
Yeah, I think
stronger leadership is required.
Honorable, the Zoli moved us ahead to page 34 because she says no standards. Whatever we discuss now, we're discussing the colleges and of course included in the CET. Are we together? Are we all opinion and worry?
I think we're all on the same page, Jackie. The only thing, and actually when you referred to our specific role in terms of the CFMA, etc., our problem is that TVET colleges are obviously not entities specifically listed in the CFMA, nor are they captured in
that exists in treasury regulations. Now, last year, we made a recommendation about tightening the regulations because they're not captured in the CMMA, because they are not compelled to report in terms of the detail of process of, to us. There is a weakness, and therefore the department should tighten up the financial regulation. Now, if we look at this program 4, and then the same should apply to program 5, and in fact, the same should apply to program 6, what we require is, if we look at this, you see, we keep on in paragraph 5.4.1, we're saying they've improved their performance. But the point is, on the performance standards that they have set.
Yeah.
And as far as we are concerned, we are desperately worried about the financial management as well. You know, because we're not getting value for money qualifications. So, to bring it back, to just say, we can say that, the performance is improved, but somehow we must say the committee is still concerned that the tightening of the financial regulations have not translated into improved audit outcomes. You know, something like that. Because that brings me to answer one of his own concerns, that is that maybe there was a lack oversight in the department.
No, I think you are spot on, Honourable William. We must, in whatever we write, say that, because that's the truth at the moment. That's why I cautioned us in saying, don't say something that is never ever going to happen. And then what we should maybe include is I think, Honourable members, we should support the efforts of the Auditor General, which has decided, notwithstanding what the PSNA says, to have the Auditor General has, after himself, decided that they are going to audit these colleges. And what we should be saying is that we should commend them. We must support the efforts of the Auditor General and ask where possible to make sure that the Auditor General can get to as many colleges as they can. But I think the point that you're raising is a legislative one, Honourable Kibian, and that is the Public Audit Act. We can recommend that we confer with the Committee on Public Service and Administration to look at the concerns of the Proposed Committee on Higher Education and Training, that these colleges are now in the domain of the National Department of Higher Education and Training, and as such, that they need to look at the scheduling of these. And the department, together with Public Service and Administration, can look at the word scheduling, the way the colleges have been scheduled in terms of their financial obligations. Because that issue is outside of our realm, and we can't change that. I want to suggest that as we look at the problem, we can ask all the questions to it. Am I confusing you a little bit?
I think what you said captured everything. Because we don't have to, I don't know whether what, but arising from what we've found in the engagement with the department, we can then form part of our, that can form part of our program. If we're unhappy about the TVS and how they manage their finances or any other matters that we're not happy with, that can form part of our oversight. That is, in fact, a corrective measure, but not to really want to cloud it. There are so many things that now we are saying, and I wanted you members to scrutinize really, because we will bring in some of the things that are not read our mandate. Yes.
No, that's okay, that's fine, Honorable. that's fine on the mandate. However, the one that is our mandate is if we see that in the act it is not supportive of our oversight efforts, something like that.
Yeah,
that's what I'm trying to say. We come, and then we move along.
That's a bit confusing to me. It's just before you read the letter, when there was migration, we explained, we were told that some of the provinces are reluctant to surrender themselves, especially financially. The allocation of resources to teachers. So what exactly are we saying is the effort to finish migration financially so that when we correct we make sense for the authority. Even if it's money issues, we should definitely pay attention because that in our oversight we have realized that TVET colleges are under and actually that we keep on saying that is what we must produce people with skills for job opportunities, but we're not allocating enough money. So my question is, do we need to change the act first before we can give them enough money, or money in any case we can still allocate? Which is something that I think should be used for the
No, I think you are together on the board, Kekana, in what we're saying. Where the confusion came in has been under reference to the Public Audit Act. It's the act that says this is how the Auditor General can be empowered. So I then said, the fact that the scheduling of the colleges is not an automatic thing, if we are uncomfortable with that fact, we first of all are happy that the Auditor General has nevertheless decided to do auditing on the colleges, but if we want it to be a permanent feature, then the Act must empower the Auditor General, and the only place where the Auditor General can be empowered is the Public Audit Act. And then we must have a conversation with the Committee on Public Service and Administration, whose mandate is that act. So we're not talking about the higher education act, not that one. But I think all the other points that you are making, indeed, in the report about the concerns of the colleges. Can we move along?
Okay, well just on a technical point, I would like our research to just check whether it was the Department, National Treasury, or the Auditor General that sent out the requirement that public TVs must now also adhere to the TFMA. I'm not sure that which of those three entities started requiring that from the colleges.
No, we can double check, but I can also tell you when we meet with the Auditor General and when the Auditor General meets with myself also, they then explain their reasoning for. You would remember, honourable members, we were in the room the next day when the audit, when the Auditor General said to us this is what they would like to do. And they have really improved on that section. That was the one that the honourable was only said, no, we don't want that. The poor woman was.
That presentation.
Yes, it was a little presentation, and that little presentation, which you did not like that day, has led to the great stuff that they asked for, because we then said to them, no, they must proceed, because we think that they must be more on the colleges through their own initiative. And
And that's how, but in any case, we can bring this again. I'm now on page 55 already. I think one of the things that we have left out is the department's oversight over the National Student Financial Aid Scheme. Notwithstanding the fact that the National School has their own report, but the department has responsibility in all the discussions that we have, that goes for National also because the department has a responsibility, including the fact that the department, we must observe that the department has not brought the, what is that thing? His name I can never remember. The one that links the financing to the free education, because they don't get something that they haven't done the framework yet. I don't know why that one doesn't matter. It doesn't. The funding framework, I don't think you have said anything about that. Thank you. Okay. Honourable members, I'm at page 40 already.
Page break at the bottom of page 41. You could just get that recommendations from the previous year. For me, it is quite serious that we made certain recommendations in the previous report. The paragraph 6.7.
Yeah.
Starts unfortunately at the bottom of page 41, so you can't miss it from the top of page 42. For me, it's quite serious that the department just ignored certain of our recommendations. For me, they can come back and ask us to reconsider and all kinds of other options, but ignoring a body such as this and its recommendations, I believe is something which should be highlighted. And I'm grateful that it has been included in this report. But I believe we should now instruct the department, not to, that's it, implore, inspect the department to respond to our previous recommendations and to tell us, you know, what are their views on this. So that's the one item. Also, Chair, in terms of our recommendations, there are some general recommendations. The recommendations that we have are now under each individual program. But for me, for example, there would be a general recommendation to say, but I personally believe that their targets are not always spot on. It's not always speaking to their core mandate. They have a target that the policy will be developed. But then you eventually quiet on your core mandate, and that is to contribute to the general level of skills in this country, for example. And the second observation in this regard is also that the Auditor General found a number of their existing targets to be, if I can make up a word, inauditable. They couldn't audit this. And it is almost like a refrain that they have been coming back to. So that they couldn't audit this target. They couldn't measure whether
it is true that you measure that, that you've reached that target, etc. And therefore, I believe that when they set targets in the future, they must also, I always want to say, provide the formula whereby that target will be reported on and whereby it can be audited. But these are general observations. It doesn't fall under a particular program. So I was hoping that we would either at the end or at the beginning of our recommendations just have a few of a general nature.
So I think you can accomplish it, Honourable Member, by saying that when the committee does the quarterly, what did you say?
Review?
No. Remember we have the department before us on a quarterly basis. All these things that we are discussing now and have discussed some of these under the quarterly. And I think that what we'll do is when the department next to hand the subject report is gone up. Whatever we would want to do in the future can be accommodated, what we're going to do in the future with how we deal with departments that appear before us on a quarterly basis. So when they come before us, whatever the date is, with the second quarter, then I think on the decision, that's where the committee has all the rights within that those quarters to look at things like the targets and so on. But also when we deal with the department APP that they appear before us, and again, that's where I want to ask the committee to look at how these targets have been set aside and how, because they will refer you back to that. And I think that's a brilliant place also where we say that these targets that you're giving to us in your APC, we think of that also. So, yeah. Is that fine? No, I hear what you say, and I'm not discarding.
No,
I'm saying we take into consideration that we say that the committee will, moving forward, the committee will, in its quarterly oversight. We're talking about ourselves, we're not, we're not going to change the target at the gone. We're now moving forward. That's the point that I'm making.
See, if I might just, I hear you about the annual performance plan, but here we are speaking specifically about the budget report. And what the Auditor General has done. And I therefore believe that we should respond when the Auditor General comes here and almost repeatedly say, you have not been able to audit this, we've not been able to audit that, we've not been able to audit that. That somewhere in our recommendation, we must refer to the, what I've now termed the auditability of targets. But I hear you, the other targets, where I believe that we set not in terms of the core mandate of the department and the fact that that should be more referred to the annual performance plan, I take that from you.
Okay. Mover on the report, that's where we are now.
Thank you. Have we adequately covered the issue regarding inadequate evidence on the basis of information systems held by the department, and there is any one of the programs? Because I think that one links on to the issue that is raising. Audit findings saying we couldn't make a determine because they couldn't provide the baseline figures.
Mm-hmm.
Now that is rather serious. And I think we should mention that we are concerned, because remember that was also coming from last year. that issue was raised on. I support you 100% that if we want them to sharpen their pencils as far as their objectives and targets are concerned, we should do that during a different period. It is when they bring their annual performance plan, strategic objectives, and saying, why do you have this whole host of targets which are tick box exercises? But as far as the findings of the audit agenda, that's rather serious. We have had difficulty to get figures from the department, and they've had excuses on TVET colleges as well as on skills development, you know, the system of information. How else do you determine progress if you don't have the sort of quantification of where you start and movement on the ground? So I think that issue, we must adequately cover it, either, you know, as a general point, or we should cover it under the specific program where the auditor general raised them. And I think he raised in three programs, if I'm not wrong. I think he raised teachers, and teachers, but he also made reference to university education.
The other university also. And the university one is quite serious, I must say.
So we should measure the other
perhaps such is, we should say, under recommendation, under the quarterly requirements, number 7, DHEC recurring audit findings, in that table, first item, action required, the DHEC to develop, implement, and monitor an action plan to address the recurring findings and submit to the committee. Now, I think we should stand that to fit Honourable Fernandez and Killian's point to say that the DHEC should develop, implement, and monitor an action plan to address the recurring findings, including suggestions re-target settings, as well as IT inadequacies leading to unavailability of information, and submit to the committee. And that should be the DHEC. And it is because we should have a box of the DHEC and its entity, because everyone should be doing that.
No, I think honourable members, that's what it, well, I think the only one that's missing is the university. The university is under the area.
So that's what's going as well.
And whatever we discuss now is with the university. Because the dispensation of the university, I'm afraid, allows them to get away with respect to the financial reporting also, and that should concern us. You see, the only one that that keeps us talking about is the minutia. But when you look at the report of the branch, you then see in the branch that you missed quite a number of things, including the fact that they don't have a target for crime against violence on the colleges. So I'm saying we must make sure that that is also there. Having discussed and having given suggestions, having asked us to go and tighten up and strengthen and all of these things, I now put the entire report to the committee for adoption and for Killian.
Absolutely welcome, Chairperson. We're getting very good input from you.
And Honourable Bowman.
Chair, I support the adoption flowing from our discussion.
Is there anyone that wants to approve this report? There being none, the report has been adopted. So, my minister, Honourable Minister, we have got it very 5 minutes before we get to the other report. The other report we have put together, you know, all the entities today. One entity by one entity.
Thank you.
I don't have permission to say this.
Thank you.
consensus for page 5.
between brackets, with approved national treasury financial institution, or something to that, because it's very long and very wieldy, and we more or less lose the impact of it. If you will allow me, I will just look at Honourable Sperdelli can help us as well. Just, you know, just a little easier. Maybe we can put in a full stop somewhere, and then start with a new sentence. I'll try to do that.
We are not taking the essence away, we're making the sentence more workable.
Mm-hmm.
9, page 9. Anyone? Page 10. Clarity, and I, that's why I brought all my documents, but I haven't had time to see if I could find the original. The second bullet from the bottom, 100% of applications received X, Y, and Z. Then the underperformance was attributed to a number of performance issues where the case management is a model or module. Module. So it is module. Okay.
in front of?
Under the observations for this bus, I'm grateful that we are referring to the appointment of the administrator. But it was a term used when the administrator appeared before us.
Page 23,
which refers to the problem that institutions had, that they were given a lump sum of money, but then they were not informed, you know, to whom this money should be released. I think the content advisor is using the word disbursement here. But there was another term which they used.
It's almost like you get
an instruction to pay over, or you get permission to pay X amount to whatever student. There was a specific term they used.
Or did the general use the word something about over? Is that remittance advice?
Remittance advice. That's the word that I've been looking for, and I was just wondering whether, since it seems to be accounting language, whether we shouldn't use the word remittance advice rather than disbursement or something.
Yeah.
There you have it. Thank you.
All right. On page 38 now.
Can I just come back to that point? Page 27 again, recommendations. Having looked through our recommendations, I think all of them could be easily taken on board by the administration. So,
when I was reading through it, I thought it would actually cover it, you know, for the atmosphere, and in fact some of the issues we've already started to address. Would it make any sense to insert on 9.1.5 with reference to the IT system to insert the end of the grade in after address as a matter of urgency? Challenges with regards to the end of such IT systems. Remember, we've been harping on that for some time, and we were. So, I think the fact that everything has now been shown, all weaknesses have been shown up, you know, with a very, very critical report, it would be good for us to say in 9.1.5, we add access after the word address. We just say as a matter of urgency. Now, obviously, the administrator is already attending to that to a certain extent, but just to make sure that we don't disregard it as one of the issues that must be, it is a critical issue.
And I'm sure everyone is looking at it. I also want to ask Paul on that question. I remember in the meeting we raised the issues that the Auditor General recommended, and we said that we must support the recommendations that the Auditor General has given. On the next year. I don't see it in here. And those recommendations related to the staff matters also. And I think that those ones are quite important for the Auditor General. Remember, we asked them, can you implement your recommendations? They went as far as saying, because the Auditor General said that they would want to come back, I think, in November. They wanted to come back, and I thought that all of that we must include in our report, which was very important. So,
Just another point. 917, where I did pick up the word remittance advisors. My impression is that upfront payments cannot always be accompanied by remittance advisors. Unfortunately, the colleges need a lot of money and universities in January. The point is that we want the remittance advisors to be at those institutions as early as possible. But if we are going to link the remittance advisors, remember the students arrive in January, February, they enroll, the data must be sent up to NISFAS, NISFAS must consider the merit of the application, etc. Which means that the remittance advisors may, even in an ideal situation, only be reaching those institutions towards the first week of March, etc. And many of these institutions are in dire need of money to pay salaries in January and February, buy books in bulk, etc. So I'm just concerned the fact that we're linking the bulk transfers to the remittance advisors, that may cause problems for our institutions. And the point that we actually want to make is that there shouldn't be any unnecessary delays with the issuing of remittance advices. The fact that they've been given these grants and then only received the remittance advices 5 months later on, that is what's been causing the problem. So that they have had the money, but they couldn't disburse that to the students that were in need of food vouchers or travel vouchers or whatever the case may be. But if we're not going to, you know, allow them to accept students into hostels, feed them and so on, until the remittance devices have been issued, I think we are going to cause more trouble and we want to alleviate a problem there is in that. So that is my point on 917. I don't know if you want me to hold it first.
Yeah, hold that. Just you would remember, honourable members, that the recommendations here would include our previous discussion also, when we had everyone before us. The students there, all of those people. I think what we is maybe the way the sentence is formulated, which would cause your interpretation. Because the point that we made then is, at the beginning of the year, when students register, there should not be anything such as the upfront allocation has not gone to the institution to allow them to register or enter into the college and the university. But the second one that we said, which you rightly say caused all of these other problems, is the fact that they're in now and that's it. Then from there, everyone. Everyone. They're in. They can't buy a pencil, they can't buy a rubber, all of that. The point that we are trying to make here is, and that's why I say the sentence maybe can be reformulated. We are trying to say that, we are trying to point out that we don't want this issue to remain as a problem. We want to make sure that there's a registration, but there's also the other, because I remember the students say they get the money in July, but that's what we are trying to address. That's why I'm saying the sentence might be, but that's why. So we're not trying to say there is an upfront payment. You can only do something with the upfront payment unless you have given the remittance. That sentence must go together with how the entire plan is rolled out also. And I think maybe we can reformulate it and I'm part of to make it that, because that's the intention of that. Remember we even spoke about the registration. And the students must have certainty in January. And then make all of those recommendations. I think it's all of that that we are trying to bring in here in what we have said that other day also when we gave everyone our
our matrix, and everyone in the house said that this is moving forward, they think that we should do that. I'm saying it's a matter of maybe the way we have crafted things.
On that
control.
Jason, I think you've captured it. Because remember, what we have heard was that there was no reconciliation between who the students were. Just a lump sum of money was paid into the university.
You mean
what
the general pointed it out as?
That's right. So I think if we could have, you know, that sort of clarification of we are making payments of X, Y, Z for the following students, upfront payments. And in the end, the system must be able to reconcile per student what they were allocated and what is still owed to them. That student also has to.
Thank you, Chief. All I can say is that without the upfront payments, we would have seen more trouble at the beginning of this year. My next one, and I'm so grateful for this recommendation, that the regulation should be published to clearly define the roles and responsibilities of the institutions and NSFAS respectively.
Number
918, just the following paragraph.
Okay.
But can I say, Chair, what we've also found is that often regulations have been published last year, for example, on the 15th of December. We need those regulations to be published and for enough time to be allowed. When I give you a responsibility, I must allow you time and also give you resources actually to build the capacity to be able. But what's happening is that we've got an authority like NSFAS that can just say, well, we're no longer going to do this and this and that. The colleges must now take responsibility, let's say for remittance advisors or whatever. But then the college hasn't had the time to develop the necessary systems, infrastructure, appoint the staff. And quite often they also don't have the resources. So my recommendation, and it's not well worded, it can be improved on, and that enough time be allowed and support be given to build capacity where required. So between that letter saying, now this is what you must be doing, we must allow enough time, and we must also give support so that we can build capacity when I move a specific function to you. So that makes sense.
Do
I
just give
you
all the other members? Just
one request, or clarity. Is it perhaps necessary to include reference to students as well? We have here for institutions of any class, what do we expect from the students, and how should they, otherwise the regulation would really be incomplete. So I would also suggest that we include reference to students.
That's where the plan, the name that I don't remember all the time, comes in also. Because that one outlines the responsibilities of everyone, which the policy holder maker is supposed to introduce, which is in the department. And your point can be accommodated in that one. We can preface it by saying that all the different stakeholders have a responsibility, and then we can continue the sentence with what it is that we put in. Without that document, we're just going to throw money up into the sky.
Okay, Chair, and this is where we do look a little bit incongruous, because we're recommending clearly defined, that's what you were with, roles and responsibilities of the institutions, NSFAS, and students.
Yeah.
In the rollout of the student-centered model, before any alternatives being considered, because I understand that the administrator is not that keen on the student and may possibly reverse here on that. So I'm just wondering, if, you know, we don't want to look dated and giving recommendations that become irrelevant, because we would still think there needs to be a definition of roles and responsibilities. So it should say the rollout of the student-centered model or any alternative developed. Yes, I've read 919, but then it should, 918 should say the student-centered model or an alternative model.
Why didn't we just merge 8 and 9?
Well, then what are we saying the rollout of? The rollout of something. The rollout of the model.
Okay, so
for payoff.
The department working in collaboration with NASA should ensure that the regulations are published clearly to define the roles and responsibilities of the students. Full stop.
Of institutions, NISFAS and students.
What is that? Full stop.
Leave out that last
part. Yeah. Then the last part goes to 911.
Coming in the funnel, but they're not always, in my mind, you know, responding in time to be able to avert the disasters. And we've seen that in such numerous cases in this country, you want me up to start it. But I just think here is something coming. I see the light in the tunnel coming towards us, and I just believe that somewhere we need to observe or recommend that that capacity investigation at least is done. Thank you.
The next point that you are making does it relate to the annual report or does it relate to the...
Chief, it relates definitely to my mind to the budget going forward and the targets that will be set in terms of the budget. That is another problem. where I believe a lack of forward planning and the measurement of the heights of locomotives and so on have caused some problems.
Okay, you see, my concern with that is that from the presentation that Capcom made, they actually looked very good. So for us to anticipate that the law will be crafted, because we are going to craft it, to craft it in such a way that it will create capacity constraints, I think we actually jumped the gun. We're dealing with the overview of the past financial year. It would really be difficult to bring in an issue about capacity if they already demonstrate a serious incapacity. Yes, that's what it might say. But, you know, their turnaround times were actually pretty remarkable on qualifications, etc. So I can't see. I think, I suspect Honourable Fonavista trying to jump the gun. He wants to debate the NQF Amendment Act through this process.
And that is a little odd, Honourable Chair.
I don't want to say, but yeah, in all seriousness, I really don't think we should introduce that issue now. If he can tell us where in their presentation they demonstrated the incapacity, then we could.
I think you summed it. Actually, the question that you said, where should that be located, was proper. But at the same time, I think Honourable Fonavista is just reflecting and sorry for the word, thinking aloud on issues that have happened before. But while that point is taken, I also don't see where it can be located within what we discuss as
it's right now. You have the point of what the rest says, and we understand what you are saying, but when you look at the rest in saying, lift up in the annual report either the department or the staff or the auditor general pointed out that SACWA has a general capacity problem to implement the mandate that they are supposed to. That's the one that the members are operating for and that are going to cut.
Thank you, Jack. Can I just then say that unless my email is still circulating somewhere in cyberspace, I wrote to SACWA last week and asked for my own records on the National Record Learner database.
Mm-hmm.
That was not later than last Thursday, and I haven't had a response from them yet. Now, but hopefully my email is still on its way to Johannesburg.
It's too old,
Jim.
That's the problem.
It's
not terrible.
Can we ask you to the talk? May I ask the honourable member if we now at the stage we need to move the report or otherwise in 2 minutes?
I move to for the chair of the report.
Thank you. Anyone that is unhappy with the report? There being none, the report is adopted. Honourable, thank you very much. The very last point, Honourable members, we look forward to the report being tabled in the National Assembly. We hope the Honourable Chairman will be here and ask you to object to it again. Because it's an issue that you are not doing.
Chair, we have a
the National Qualification Framework for an observation of the discussion to date and a little bit on what you just said on the Wolfhanger presentation. I want to propose to the committee that we consider three following issues. In moving forward with the ball, this issue comes up all the time in the discussion that the entire operation, if you look at the proposal in the ball, how the entire operation will be, as well as the capacity issue that you raised of structure, as well as just a practical expression for the committee members to see themselves over and above, you know, the status of documents that have been given to you. That we ask we do an application to the House Chairperson to ask that the committee, as a matter of urgency, do an oversight to the South African Qualification Council. Where are they? Gilbert.
Pretoria.
In Pretoria, we don't do a general oversight. We do a specific oversight as it relates to the issues that we want to clarify in the bowl. In the bowl that is before us at the moment, and use that to help us to, you know, whatever it is that we're going to do with the bowl moving forward. I'm saying this, Honourable Mayor, because I've now heard you in all the meetings, this issue comes up. And instead of us, you know, trying to find more documents, the best way for Parliament is to physically go there and then to do that in our own. Well, honourable members, we will communicate.